Hey everybody, great to be with you today. And like Christy said, I'm looking forward to the day when we can do this together physically and be in the same room. That's going to be great. And we'll be working on that this week and hopefully get you some answers soon. I would have made a terrible soldier. I had a friend in high school who went on into the military, eventually became a fighter pilot, which is pretty cool. But leading up to that, in the early days, it wasn't so fancy, so exciting. I remember him telling me stories of forced marches and very strict rules and commands. And some of these commands, they made sense intrinsically, and some of them didn't. And I would have wanted to question every command that came my way, especially ones that didn't make sense. And in the heat of a battle, you can't have a soldier that questions commands. It's not a time for discussion. You just gotta do what you're told to do. I would have been very dangerous as a soldier. And that's before they even would have given me a gun. So, but I'm glad that my desire for reasons behind instructions is met fully in the Bible. It isn't just a book of rules with no explanation as to why those rules are important. As creator of the universe, okay, God would have the right to answer every one of my questions with, because I said so. All right, he's just that much smarter than me. So he'd have the right to do that, but he patiently and kindly provides me with satisfying and rational reasons for why I should obey him. And today we're going to see that in action. Paul, the writer of a good portion of the New Testament of the Bible, uses a simple two-part pattern when he lays out his letters to the churches. The first part has to do with our theology, or what we believe about God. This is the who, the what, and the why for the Christ follower. This is the reason behind the commands, the who, the what, and the why. This helps us understand why we do what we do. The second part of his letters has to do with our practice. Based on what we know about God, how are we going to act? This is the where, the when, and the how for a Christ follower. Now, Christianity isn't just about knowing. It isn't just about what we know. It's also about what we do. If we just know but don't do, we are in danger of being hypocrites, not being who God wants us to be. And if we just do without knowing, then we can become religious or burn out. And again, not being who God wants us to be. Being a disciple of Jesus means knowing and doing. Paul's letter to the Ephesians follows this two-part format as well. We've been working through the book over the last month. Our first four topics in our series have been to know who you are, know where you're going, know God's love, and then know your purpose or your function. These comprise the part one of Paul's communication strategy. Now halfway through chapter four, Paul leaves the theology part and the reason we do what we do and moves on to the practical part, the what it is that we're going to do. And he jumps in with both feet. From Ephesians 4 verse 17 to 5 verse 20, Paul lists off quite a number of things to avoid as well as things to do in order to live like Christ. He doesn't use metaphorical language. He's very clear, very upfront, and very specific on what he wants from us. And what he's asking is that the Ephesians live holy lives. Ephesians live holy lives. And this need for the followers of Christ to live holy lives has not changed. Our culture changes around us all the time. What was wrong 20 years ago is right today. What was right 30 years ago is wrong today. So our culture changes all around all the time. But the narrow path of righteousness that Christians are to walk never changes. It remains the same. So let's look at what Paul's description of the narrow path is. Okay, so we're going to start in Ephesians 5, verse 1. If you check on your tab, if you're watching us on our website, there's a tab there with the scripture passage right there. You can read that or take your Bibles or your smartphones and read along with me. It says this in Ephesians 1, or Ephesians 5, verse 1. Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. But among you, there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality, or of any kind of impurity, or of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. For of this you can be sure. No immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a person is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things, God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Therefore, do not be partners with them. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. It is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, and everything that is illuminated becomes a light. That's why it is said, "Wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." Be very careful then how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs of the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God, the Father, for everything, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, there are a lot of do's and don'ts in this text. And you can see how, without any understanding of the why, this chapter can potentially exhaust us. The list actually starts halfway through the previous chapter. There are a lot of things to pay attention to. That's why it's so important to read this passage in context, to read chapters 4 and 5 after having read chapters 1 to 3. And that's why reading in a vacuum will burn us out. That's why so many have a negative view of the Bible. They're missing the love behind the commandments. If you just have the commandments without the love, yeah, it is a tough pill to swallow. I understand that. But if we understand that we've been ransomed, redeemed, and adopted by God through Jesus Christ, that we are loved completely by Him, that we are part of His body, and that we have an eternal destiny of unending life with Him, we are motivated to lean into everything that is said in this passage. We are motivated to choose life over death. We are motivated to choose holiness over depravity. Obedience is best done as a response to love. Well, the first thing that jumped out to me in this passage was how we are identified. Okay, how we're identified. I've read this passage a lot. Maybe you have too. But for the first time, it struck me. I guess that's the Holy Spirit just enlightening His word in my heart. But did you catch it? Look at verse 8. It says, "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord." For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. John Stott writes this. Notice that he does not say they used to be in darkness, but now we're in light. That would have been true, as the New Testament writers say. But what Paul writes here is more striking still. They themselves were actually now light. Their lives, and not just their environment, had been changed from darkness to life, to light. And this radical transformation had taken place in the Lord by virtue of their union with Him who claimed to be the light of the world. So then, because they had become light in the Lord, they must walk as children of the light, or like people who belong to the light. Their behavior must conform to their new identity. They must radiate the light they are and live like people who are home in daylight. This living in the light will mean choosing, as Paul writes in Philippians, All that is true and noble and right and pure and lovely and admirable and excellent and praiseworthy. It means having nothing to hide, being totally transparent and filled with joy and freedom. It also means having some opinion on that old way of living, namely, to want to have nothing to do with it. We need to turn away from all that is evil. Paul says that we were once darkness. Okay, that's who we were once. We were once darkness. Darkness hides things. It hides the devastating effects of evil. Light exposes everything. It brings evil's deadly results into the open so they can be dealt with. Well, Jennifer and I just bought a house. Woohoo! I know some of you have been praying, and so thank you so much for that. We take possession of it on Tuesday, so we're pretty pumped. But in order to get ready to buy the house, we had Chris Lewis come over and do a home inspection for us. Now, Chris was thorough. He looked under the porch. He looked in the garage. He looked in the basement. He shone light in the attic. He was up on the roof. He was all around. He checked everything. Every square inch of our house was under the light of Chris. And we love this. Now, some of you say, well, isn't there a saying that says what you don't know can't hurt you? Well, I don't know if that's, I don't think that's true, especially in house buying, because what you don't know actually can hurt you a lot. So we are so thankful that Chris was so thorough and we were able to buy our house with a lot of peace. We've probably all heard an account of someone who's gone to the doctor for one thing and then the doctor found something else out. Jennifer, this happened to Jennifer when she was getting ready to see if she could be a kidney donor. And they did a whole bunch of tests on her to make sure she was healthy. And actually, one of the doctors says, "You're a well-preserved woman." Isn't that a great compliment? I looked for a Hallmark card that said, "Jennifer is a well-preserved woman." Couldn't find one. But anyway, she's a well-preserved woman. But what they found while they were looking for this was she had some splenic aneurysms. This is a problem. And so they were able to operate and fix those aneurysms and so that she could eventually then be healthy enough to donate a kidney. But just because we didn't know that aneurysms were there did not mean they weren't there. They were there. And we were just able to find out about them. The light was shone on them. And then we were able to deal with what could have been a potentially life-threatening problem. Well, sin is like that. When we sin, we want to hide. We want to keep it in the dark so that no one will know. But that doesn't make the effects of sin go away. The Bible teaches that the wages of sin is death. And in order to expunge death from our bodies, we need to shine the light of Christ on every part of every room in our heart. Bring sin into the light. Only as we do that and confess it to Jesus can we receive his forgiveness and be washed clean. Are you hiding these days? Are you keeping some behavior secret? That's a very dangerous pattern, a deadly habit, a devastating practice. And these are some of the behaviors of one who is in darkness that Paul outlines. He first says they have a hard heart. A hard heart. Man, I think everything else I'm going to say on this list sort of relates back to that. Having a hard heart. Maybe that's just a prayer you want to say to Jesus right now. Oh Lord, soften my heart. I don't want to have a hard heart. But he talks about a hard heart. He talks about impurity and a continual lust for more. Lying, falsehood, sinning in anger, stealing, grieving the Holy Spirit, sexual immorality, unwholesome talk, obscenity, foolish talk, coarse joking, being partners with the disobedient, engaged in the fruitless deeds of darkness, getting drunk, greed, bitterness, rage, brawling, slander, malice. Of course, this isn't a comprehensive list. This isn't like all the bad things in the world you could do. There's much more. And these days, I'd particularly like to add racism and gossip and oppression and violence. These are the deeds of darkness. And I'm sure as I read that list, there were some that stood out to you, that pierced your very heart because of your tendency to give into them. That's the conviction of the Holy Spirit. Right now, he's convicting your heart. He is shining his light into your heart right now. He is pointing out the areas where death is growing, and he's inviting you to confess those things and turn away from them. Listen to his gentle voice. obey Him. Repent. There's a good reason to do that. Paul writes in our text today that there will be no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God for those who engage in evil practices. He also writes that God's wrath comes on the disobedient. Please, don't mistake His kindness and His patience for weakness or as an inability to act. Don't think for a moment that He takes sin lightly. We need to turn away from evil because there are dire consequences if we don't. But the good news is that Jesus Christ, in Him, we have been transformed. We cannot turn away from these things on our own. We need the life of Christ within us to say no to evil and unrighteousness. He will help us turn away from sin, and He will free us from the death that sin brings, because now we are light in the Lord. Now we are light in the Lord. We were darkness, now we are light. In Christ, we've been given a new nature. We have put off our old self and put on our new self. This new self is Christ. You see, all the good things I do, all my righteous acts in my own, are as filthy rags because they're all tainted with sin. Therefore, I need Christ's righteousness, which is perfect, to clothe me so that it's not my righteous acts, but His righteousness. And when that happens, I'm completely forgiven. We are set free from sin. We are slaves of a new master, and this master is loving and kind and fair. In this new light, we are to live very differently. We are to be taught about Jesus, be made new in the attitudes of our minds, put on a new self, speak truthfully, work and share, be kind and compassionate, forgive, follow God's example, walk in the way of love, be filled with thanksgiving, live as children of the light, be wise. Find out what pleases the Lord. Expose the fruitless deeds of darkness. Be very, very careful how we live. Make the most of every opportunity. Understand what the Lord's will is. Be filled with the Spirit. Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord. In the same way that Jesus helps us turn away from sin, He helps us turn toward righteousness. Christ works in us to will and to act according to His good purpose. We will live lives of health because the Holy Spirit will empower us to do that. Now, it's good to review that list, not as an onerous spiritual to-do list, but rather as an inspiration to invite Jesus to help us live the way He wants us to live. And why? Why should we live this way? Well, look at verse 1. It says, follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave Himself up for us as a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. We need to be righteous and holy because we have been set free by Jesus' extravagant example and sacrifice of love. Love is the motivator behind all of this. Christ wants us to live in love because that's how He is toward us. And when we live in the light, we are able to make life-giving impact on everyone around us. Listen again to what our text says. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, and everything that is illuminated becomes a light. When we are exposed to Christ's light, we become light. Darkness flees in the presence of light. Think of being in a dark room and lighting a single candle. That single point of light chases back a room full of darkness. All the darkness in the world cannot extinguish a single solitary light. This is true for us as well. We can make a huge difference in the world because we are light. Jesus says, you are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people take a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand so that it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before people that they may see your good deeds and glorify and praise your Father who is in heaven. Dr. Barry W. Buffy is the director of legal affairs with the Canadian Council of Christian Churches. He wrote an article entitled The Role of Christian Communities to Protect Freedom. He talked about the positive impact that Christianity can have as light in the world, especially as this COVID crisis transitions out. Here's what he writes. Recovery will take time, and I believe the Christian community has an important role to play in restoring a healthy, functioning society. Numerous studies demonstrate the positive impact that Christianity has on maintaining freedom. Religion can bring relief to those who are devastated emotionally, physically, and financially. It can also impact our political ideologies and systems. By carrying out the divine mandate to love our neighbors, Christians affirm the human dignity of the downtrodden, no matter their class, race, age, or gender. Preaching the gospel of Jesus promotes justice and strengthens the socioeconomic health of our society. This is what we were meant to do and will do as we live in the light and are the light. Our light comes from the light of Christ that lives within us. This is the new self that we put on. This is our new nature. So if I have a new nature, does this mean I don't sin anymore? Or, to put it another way, if I sin, does that mean I don't have a new nature? Well, the reality is we all sin. I sin and need to continually come before God in repentance and confession. I agree with Christ that my actions are falling short of what He desires for me, and then I recommit myself to live for Him. See, there would be no reason for Paul to tell us to be very careful how we live if there wasn't a possibility that we could live dangerously. See that? If we couldn't live dangerously, he would never say, well, be very careful how you live. You don't tell someone to be very careful not to do something that they could never possibly do. No one ever says to me, hey, Tim, be very careful not to walk around on Venus. See, I will never have an opportunity to walk around on Venus. But someone could say to me, hey, Tim, be very careful when you cross the road to look both ways for vehicles. Because it's potentially possible to walk across the road without looking both ways and experience mortal danger. And this doesn't mean that I live in defeat, though. Okay? I don't walk around in defeat. I actually walk around in incredible victory. Because I'm being transformed into the likeness of Jesus. This will be a lifelong process. Jesus knows about my sin nature, and He died so that it could be put to death. This is both a crisis, okay, by that I mean I stand positionally as dead to sin when I receive Jesus. When I receive Jesus, I'm dead to sin. I've received a new nature. So it's a crisis. It's a momentary thing. But it's also a process. I am dying to sin every day. I have great joy that I am forgiven because of what Jesus has done for me, and I live each day in that freedom. When I sin, I confess it, and I realize the infinite grace and forgiveness that comes through Christ's death and resurrection. It's all there for me. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. One helpful way for me of looking at this problem of sin in our lives is this. A fish can exist for a while out of water. Okay? So you can pick a fish out of water and it will live for a while. But it can't live out of water indefinitely. It will die. A fish is not a land animal. In the same way, a human can exist for a while underwater. But they can't live underwater. They need air. They are not water creatures. And this transition from the old self to the new self is as dramatic as a water creature becoming a land creature. It is a complete and total change. I may sin, but I can't live in sin any longer. I just can't do it. I'm as desperate for forgiveness and relational restoration with Christ as I am for air when I'm underwater. I am not a sin creature anymore. I am a Christ creature. I long for righteousness. I long to be like Jesus. Those who are still controlled by the sin nature long to satisfy that nature's desires. They long for the things of sin. They try to live perfect lives, but they can't. They are drawn back to the way of unrighteousness. And they will stay that way forever, doing what they hate and reaping the deadly consequences, except for the incredible pursuing and redeeming work of Christ. The one who left the 99 to find that one. Jesus is always on the hunt, looking for people who are dying in their sins. He didn't wait until we had it all figured out and were living perfect lives. Not at all. On the contrary, the Bible teaches that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. This is why we need to come and rely on Jesus completely. We don't clean ourselves up to take a bath. We take a bath to clean ourselves up. We don't get our lives all together so that we can come to Jesus. We come to Jesus so that he can put our lives together. And he will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He will make us shine like the day. He will make us light. In 2011, a homeless man named Ted Williams held up a sign on a busy street that said, "I have a God-given gift of voice. I'm an ex-radio announcer who has fallen on hard times. Please, any help will be gratefully appreciated. Thank you and God bless you." Well, it turns out he had once served in the military and then as a radio announcer. He had been married, had 9 children, but due to drugs and alcohol, he lost everything. He said that he'd become homeless and penniless and hopeless. One videographer took a video of him on the street. They said, "Hey, you got to earn some of your money today. So let's hear your voice." And he spoke, and his voice was golden. It was incredible. The video went viral, and soon everyone was looking for the homeless man with the golden voice. He went from living on the streets to being a guest on the Today Show and on Dr. Phil and on the Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon. It was an extraordinary transition. At first it felt great, but soon the pressure became too much and he fell back into his destructive habits. He ended up in rehab and his life began to turn around. He was given a second chance. He began to hold up a new sign. And this time it said, "He who was homeless will lead the homeless home." By his own testimony, he says, "When people see me, they see an act of God. When they see me alive, they see that God is still doing modern day miracles." And now Ted's mission is to give back by helping out homeless shelters and soup kitchens. His dream is to build a laundromat where the homeless can wash their clothes for free. He loves those who are as broken as he was, and he's doing what he can to lift them up. He has since been restored in relationship with his children and grandchildren. It's a beautiful story. And do you see the parallels? He was lost. Then he was found. And then he gave his life for love. He was lost. And then he was found. And then he gave his life for love. That's what our story is. We were messed up. We blew what was entrusted to us. We sinned. We fell short of the glory of God. But Jesus came into our desperate circumstances and rescued us. He brought us up out of the pit, out of the miry clay. He found us in our hell holes and offered us heaven. How can we continue to live like hell? He rescued us so that we can live as citizens of heaven. That is who we are now. So let us act like who we are. Let us not flirt with any of that old life, but strive to live this new life in the power and grace of Christ Jesus. And we have the living Lord Jesus dwelling in us through faith. He will help us to live holy lives. His extraordinary, inexhaustible forgiveness is available every time we mess up. And his perfect love will never come to an end. It's never up for grabs. Yield yourself to him anew right now. Be filled with the Holy Spirit right now. Let us live as children of the light, for because of Jesus, we are light. We're going to close our time in prayer. And we're going to spend some time listening to Jesus. I invite you to do that together in your home. I'm looking forward again. I'm just going to keep saying this, to us being back together and listening to Jesus together. I love that time when we're doing that, when there's silence in the room and we're all listening carefully. But we can do that right now in our different locations. So let's do it. I believe Jesus has things he wants to say to you, say to me. So let's quiet our hearts before him now. Lord Jesus, I thank you that you are living. I thank you that you are the head of our church. You're the head of our lives. And as the head of our bodies, our head of your body, you care for your body deeply, and you have things you want to say, directions you want to give. And as part of your body, we want to listen well to you. And so I pray in these next few moments, even as we're quiet before you, that you would speak to us. Say whatever you want to say and help us to have hearts that are obedient and thankful and receptive. Not hard hearts, but soft hearts, hearts of flesh. Maybe Jesus, through the power of the Holy Spirit, has been convicting you of something. And you know exactly what it is. It's no secret to you. It's a big secret to me. I don't know what you're struggling with, but it's no secret to you. And the Holy Spirit has been putting his finger on that today. This thing. Confess that to him right now. Receive his ample forgiveness for you. In the light of Jesus' incredible love for you, what's he asking you to do these days? How is he asking you to be a light? Maybe you need to be rescued today. Maybe you need to put on a new self. You've lived long enough with the old self. You're tired of being controlled by sin. You want to be set free. Call out to Jesus right now. Surrender your life to Jesus right now. He will lift you up out of your pit. Lord Jesus, I believe you've been ministering to people in this moment. Speaking to them like no person could ever speak. Speaking deep into their hearts where you know what's going on. From the depths of your heart to the depths of our heart. Deep, calling to deep. And I thank you that you're doing that. I pray that people would feel an enormous sense of your love for them as they listen to you. That they might realize your incredible, inexhaustible, unending forgiveness for them. And they might live in the power of the Holy Spirit, your life, Jesus, in our lives.